He is risen. Is a message that is shared universally around the world amongst Christians that we say he is risen, and the response is he is risen indeed, and we find hope in that. But this morning, before we jump to hope, it is so important that we understand what's really happening first thing Sunday morning. As we are in this series of choosing faith over emotions, we specifically picked this emotion for this day, that we need to choose faith over despair. Some of us live in despair, and in truth, when we look at the narrative, we are finding the apostles in despair. They are choosing their despair over their faith. I want to pick up where Pastor Nick left off in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16. Now, after Jesus had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and he had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. They went away and reported to the others, but they did not believe them either. How can that be? How can it be that the apostles don't believe that Christ is risen? It's because they have allowed their emotions to take control over their faith. You see, it's so amazing when we read the narratives, it's not the apostles that we find going to the grave first thing in the morning. The men who had been with him for years, who had walked with him countless miles, who had eaten meals with him, who had found comfort in bad weather, who had shared life with him, they're not the ones who go to the grave. We find that it is Mary Magdalene is the first one there. They don't go because they're in despair. And who could blame them? This Messiah, the Savior, their teacher, that they have followed so closely for so long, they witnessed being crucified. And he's buried. And they find themselves in despair. If you're struggling with despair, you will understand what I'm going to say next. Despair affects the way that we think, often leaving us with thoughts indicating defeat, hopelessness, guilt, worthlessness, pessimism, and limited positive expectations for the future. Sounds like the apostles, doesn't it? A person who is in despair will have feelings of excessive sadness, irritability, hostility, loneliness, and apathy. And by changing the way a person thinks and feels, despair leads a person to very destructive behaviors such as risky, reckless, and unhealthy acts that are self-destructive and reflect limited consideration of the future. Behavioral despair may also reflect a lack of hope for a positive future. When we read the Gospels, this is exactly where we find the apostles from Good Friday until Easter morning. But there is hope. There is hope. Hope begins, at least in this reading, in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 24, as we approach this, as Luke records, the apostles have come together, and they're waiting. They don't know what to do next. And they were discussing things. And beginning in verse 36, it says, "While they," the apostles, "were telling these things, Jesus himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see." For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." It's a beautiful transition this morning, because in that short little narrative, we go from the apostles being in despair to now they have hope. They have not only seen the risen Christ, but they have touched his body and examined his wounds. Think about that. Our Christ, our Savior, doesn't hide at a distance. He is always personal. He is always intimate. He is always seeking you. And he said, if you question that I am a spirit, or if you question who I am, reach out. Touch my hands. Look at the wound in my side, for I am real. The apostles now fully understand that Jesus is the Son of God, and they have hope. The only hope there is. Hope is found in God. It's a bold statement to make today. I say the only hope you can have in this world is a hope that is found in God. Here's why. I want to give you the world's definition of hope. The world defines hope as a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. In other words, the world defines hope as something that belongs to us because it is what we want. We wish for something to happen. We're optimistic that this thing that we seek, it's going to happen. And when it doesn't, we're wrecked. This morning, I want to give you a message of biblical hope. Biblical hope is the anticipation of a favorable outcome under God's guidance. More specifically, hope is the confidence that what God has done for us in the past guarantees our participation in what God will do in the future. This contrasts the world's definition of hope as a feeling that what is wanted will happen. It's not about us. It's trusting that everything that God has said and everything that God has revealed to us in Scripture is complete and true. We call that truth with a capital T. It is the only truth that we can have in this world. And because of that, we can now have hope. The resurrected Christ gives us hope. The only true and complete hope that we can have in this life. A hope that never diminishes, never wavers, and never lacks anything. Some of you are saying, "But Pastor, I don't have hope." I am that person in despair. I am that person like the apostles. Maybe you don't believe that Jesus rose. Maybe you struggle in this world as we fall further into chaos. Do you lack hope? As Christians, we should understand one simple thing. Hope. Hope is found at the foot of the cross. I want to talk to you about how we can have hope in this world, in this life. Number one, we can have hope that we will be forgiven for our sins. This is paramount in our faith. Part of the reason that we don't have hope in this world is because we have sinned. The Holy Spirit has been placed upon us. In Scripture it says, we are all aware of God. It's whether or not we choose to believe Him. Some of you have been burdened by sin, and you haven't repented, and so you don't have hope. The Holy Spirit will burden you. The Holy Spirit will say, you have sinned, you've done wrong against me. I had a wonderful old friend of mine who passed away. He used to say, God will put it on your knower. He made it intimate. God loves you so much that He will convict you of your sin. But God gives you a way out. It's not just condemnation, but restoration. If we look at Acts 3, this is the very beginning of the church, of the Christian church. And we find Peter giving his second sermon. And this is so important because where we left off with Peter, as Peter was in despair and he was having trouble believing this is the risen Christ, and just a little while longer, in the book of Acts, we find Peter proclaiming boldly to the world about the risen Christ. And here's what he says. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Peter gives this incredible sermon, and from it, thousands come forward and are saved. Throughout the Bible, we can clearly see that if we ask God for forgiveness of our sins, He does forgive us. The very reason we can find hope at the foot of the cross is because Jesus paid the price of our sins so we wouldn't have to. We couldn't pay enough. We couldn't do enough to earn our salvation. But God loved us so much that He sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. And all we have to do is believe in Him, believe what the Bible tells us, and we can begin a journey of hope. Secondly, we can have hope in an eternal life. Some of us walk through this earth, walk through this life burdened in despair because of the chaos. We turn on the news, it's nothing but garbage. We go to social media, that's certainly not going to uplift us. And all of a sudden, we feel this immense burden, this incredible despair. And we forget we're Christians. This life is over, but like that. And then we enter into eternity. Acts 2 records Peter's first sermon. And Peter is teaching Israel about having hope and an eternal life. And he says, men of Israel, in other words, brothers and sisters of Southlake, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. In other words, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we have power over death, because Christ defeated death. Paul confirms this in the book of Romans. Paul records, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Because Jesus has defeated death, we can have hope and of eternal life with him. Once we ask for forgiveness of our sins, we are not only forgiven, we share in the reality of eternity in heaven. Let me say that again. We share in the reality of eternity, where he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. Hope is found at the foot of the cross when we come to understand that because Jesus Christ suffered unimaginably and paid the price for our sins, not only are we forgiven our sins when we ask for forgiveness, but now we have an eternity free of pain, free of despair, never to cry again, except maybe tears of joy. It's a beautiful picture of an eternal home that should give you hope, because we're not consumed with this life. This life is over like that, and then you enter into eternity. Are you going to focus on the snap, or are you going to focus on the, well, there's 10,000 years. Let me walk over here. Here's another 10,000 years that I've been in heaven. Here's another 10,000 years. And it's all wonderful. Where's your hope? Hope is found at the foot of the cross. Lastly, we can have hope in our lives today to live this life out. Some of us struggle in this life. You're saying, well, Pastor, that's great. Great that I'm forgiven for my sins. I'm grateful that we have eternity, but I need help right now. When you're in despair, you're kind of abrupt. You're saying, all that's good, but I need help now. There's a misunderstanding in our culture and even in the church. The Greek language is so beautiful, it's so rich, and it adds complexity to things. The Greek word for salvation is sozo. It means salvation, it means restoration. We often think that Jesus died on the cross for our eternal salvation. But you see, sozo means restoration. It means now. It means healing. Like it's an ongoing process. In other words, there is hope. There is salvation this side of eternity. There is restoration. Here's how you can find hope at the foot of the cross. Here's how you can have hope in your life today. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Paul records in Romans. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope is found at the foot of the cross. If you were here on Good Friday, you understand when it says that hope was poured out, the love of God was poured out, you understand what that means. Jesus did not die on a cross just for your salvation. Here's the thing you need to hear. It's not proclaimed enough in the church. It isn't just for what's to come. It's for now. You can have hope in this day. Peter confirms it. 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Notice the wording there. It's not just hope, it's living. It's something that's ongoing, meaning we live with it. We have hope. We have hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now saved by the blood of Jesus and living a life as a repentant Christian, we are blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit who gives us hope to live out each and every day until we are united with Christ in heaven. If you are in despair because of what you are experiencing in this world, and you turn to the world to find hope, you will never find it. It will be incomplete. It will fail. Hope, true, full, and complete hope, can only be found at the foot of the cross. What Scripture teaches us is that despair is temporary, but hope is eternal. Hope is available for anyone that asks for forgiveness. Southlake, as we now have hope, let us worship God together. Let us rejoice and sing with joy for this Sunday, for this Easter, for this glorious day. You can take a seat. If you don't have hope, you just missed an opportunity. Either you just witnessed a bunch of people who are crazy, or you just witnessed a group of eternal brothers and sisters who have hope. Amen? This morning, we're going to take communion together. Communion is what we call a sacrament. It is a sacred moment. And it is so fitting on this Sunday, on Easter Sunday, and in a message of hope, that we should come to the table before us to receive the Father's love through the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is a Trinitarian event, and that is why it is sacred within the church. But some of you maybe still haven't found hope. This is your opportunity. I want to read something to you. This comes from the Apostle Paul as he is writing to the church in Corinth. And he's teaching the church, this is how to take communion. This is the correct way to take communion. And here's what he writes. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread," like this, "and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" If you were here on Good Friday, you understand the significance of breaking that bread. It represents the breaking of the body of Christ. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As we understand the love of God being poured out, this is his covenant to us. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world." In other words, what Paul is telling the church is, if you have not asked forgiveness for sins, if there are things that you have done and you need to repent, now is that time. Make yourself right before God. Do not come to this table if you have not asked for forgiveness. If you do not already have a relationship with Jesus Christ, now is the time. For those of you who do not have hope, now is the time. Ask for forgiveness. Just stay there. We don't need to make a big production. Stay in your seat and take these moments. In just a minute, the worship team is going to sing. They're going to sing "How Deep the Father's Love for Us" as we take communion. Listen to those words. If the Holy Spirit is pressing upon you, then ask for forgiveness. I want you to stay seated and reflect in this time. And then, when you are ready, come forward and receive communion with us. But I want to remind you of one last thing. How deep the Father's love for us. Here's how deep it is in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ." Spend some time in silence, and when ready, come forward. Church, if you would like to receive a blessing this morning, would you simply hold out your hands like this? Brothers and sisters, our God, who loves us beyond our understanding, sent his Son so we may have eternal hope and eternal life and peace this side of eternity. You are charged. Take that message of hope out into the world. Share it because the world so desperately needs it. Hug somebody this morning, this Easter morning. Hug them long and hard. Tell them you love them. And we will see you next week. God bless you all. He is risen.